this evening. Proverbs chapter number 3. Appreciate the good singing this evening. It's all been wonderful. It's been good all day. Choir was tremendous this morning, and I've been blessed by the singing today. If you've traveled much and been in other churches, you don't have to go far to be grateful and thankful for what the Lord has blessed us here with singing. I have got up to preach before, and if you feel like you start about 10 feet deep, you just starting way behind. And singing turns our heart heavenward. That's what it's supposed to do, and gets us in a mood and in a place where we can worship and hear what the Lord has for us. And God has, there's hardly not a pew in here that somebody's not gifted and able to sing. And I want to throw out the clarion call again. If you sing, I would love for you to let me know if you would like to sing. I would love for you to get to sing in the choir, specials, playing instruments, whatever the Lord has gifted you with. We would love for you to use those gifts and talents. If you let us know, let Brother David know, or myself, that would be a blessing. All right. Proverbs chapter number 3, and we will have a short business meeting at the conclusion of the service. Just a quick update. It won't take but just a moment. But let's take our Bibles and look at Proverbs 3, verse number 5 and 6. A very familiar text. I'm sure most of you know it by heart. But I just felt led by the Lord this evening to go back here and read these verses and mention a few things. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." That'll be our text verse tonight, but I can't help but to go on and read verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That's worth reading again. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." I want to deal with the subject a few minutes this evening on lean not to your own understanding. And if you're anything like me, and you are, because we're all made of the same filthy flesh, we are apt to, and our first notion is to lean to our own understanding. And boy, what a dangerous thing to do. And God warned us about it and give us instruction concerning it. And the Bible is filled with verses that deal with our understanding. Over and over and over, this subject is dealt with from God to us. God is sending out the call loud and clear that our understanding, left to ourselves, will get us in a mess. And don't take long for you to start trying to reason and understand and grapple with what you think or how you feel. And God has much to say. Here's a few verses I jotted down. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth." Then verse 7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and get understanding rather to be chosen than silver." Having the right understanding is worth more than money can buy. It's worth more than silver and gold. And there are more than one kind of understanding. And the verse that we read said for us to lean not to our own understanding. And in the Word of God, there's more than one understanding. First, we'll look at the unbiblical thinking that is instilled in us. I've heard this said for years, and it's worth repeating, but stinking thinking leads to low living. Our thinking and our mindset and our own understanding is not based out of the Word of God. It's not based from a spiritual or a scriptural place. Our own understanding is polluted and perverted and corrupted by our own flesh, by the mentality of the world, and even by the devil himself. Thine own understanding, the verse said, it's essential that we grasp just how messed up our own understanding is. If we're not willing to admit that, I mean, from right out of the gate, we're in trouble. You need to know, left to your own understanding, and me, left to my own understanding, it's trouble. It always has been trouble. It's trouble today, and it'll be trouble tomorrow when man is left to himself to figure it out. It's trouble. Romans 8, verse 7 said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Apart from God coming to us and redeeming us and saving us, meaning old things pass away and all things become new, and a new creature is created and made. The old man is at enmity with God. Our understanding was darkened. It was foreign to God, and it can never figure God. It'll never go to God as a source to pull from. The old man cannot. He's blind and he's dead to God. That's why the Bible said neither can be. It's impossible for a lost man to understand the things of God. Judges 17, verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That could easily be said about the day and hour we're living in. Caption, America. Man did that which was right in his own eyes. That could be put in bold print across the educational, the higher educational systems, the business world, and many, sadly, and most churches. Man, preachers, churches are just moving in the direction that seems right to them. Not based out of Scripture, not coming from God, but what they have figured out, plans and programs that man has put together that make sense, that will draw crowds and draw lots of people. But I heard an old black preacher say this years ago, one of my dear friends, he said, everything that's big ain't good. He said, if you don't believe it, just ride up the road and see the deer that was hit and then go back a couple of days later. And this was in Georgia, in that Georgia heat. And that deer will grow. It'll swell, but it ain't healthy. Matter of fact, it's dead and it's putrefying and it stinks and it's awful. So just because something's getting bigger don't mean it's getting better. Amen. Psalm 81:12. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 12:15. The way of the fool is right in the sight of God? No. In his own eyes. It's foolish to think you can figure it out and that you can understand and comprehend. Proverbs 23:4. Cease from thine own wisdom. Isaiah 5:21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Just a couple more. Romans 12:16. Be not wise in your own conceits. Philippians 2:21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. We are going to, apart from God, we are going to put first what we want. That's just a fact. 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after what? Their own lust. It's over and over and over. And we could have took the rest of the service and just read scripture after scripture of God warning us that our own understanding is darkened and it's deadly. It leads to no good. It's essential that we realize that everything we think, understand, feel is polar opposite from God's truth and from God's wisdom. Our thinking ain't sort of good. We can't even look at it that way. We got to identify it and define our understanding. It's polar opposite from God. It ain't sometimes good. It's just bad. And that's why we must retrain and reprogram our minds by the washing of the Word, the Bible says. And so nothing God says will register with our own understanding. Nothing the Bible says will appear to our own understanding. Nothing the Holy Spirit inspires will agree with our own understanding. That's why a lost man will constantly say, I don't understand. I can't see that. That's why a lost man will buck and push against and can't comprehend or understand why we do what we do the way we do it. Because Christians and born-again believers have the mind of Christ and the Word of God, and we operate according to His principles and precepts, not according to how we feel or how we want to do it. And so the unbiblical thinking that is instilled in us from birth on and just gets bigger and bigger. Number two, the unreliable tendency that is instinctive to us. The Bible said, and lean not. The word lean means to lean on or to trust in or to support. Over and over again, our default action is to revert back to leaning on ourselves. Is it not? Well, how many times have you prayed and said, Lord, I've made a mess. I have just blew it. And if you will help me out of this, oh God, I'll serve you and I'll read my Bible and I will pray and I'll go to church, and only for God to bail you out, fix it, restore us fully. And how long before we leap back? That's the whole story of the Old Testament. That's the whole story of God's chosen Israel, the apple of His eye. Over and over, God would bless them and help them and lift them up and make much of them and work miracles for them. Only for life to get good and them revert right back to their instinctive way of understanding, and God would have to send famine and pestilence and war and all kind of mess to turn the people away from their own understanding and back to thinking like the Lord wanted them to think. And it's so true in the Word of God, and it's still true today in mine and your life. It's instinctive for us to do that. Talking about leaning, do you know it's scientifically impossible to lean on yourself? You can't lean on yourself. It's impossible to lean on your own understanding. It's like a rotten post eaten with termites and decay. It'll look sturdy, it'll feel right, but every time it will crumble beneath you and cause you to fall. There's no sturdiness in our own understanding. The first thing we do is rely on our own understanding. If it doesn't make sense, we balk. If it can't be explained or logically worked out, we reject it as truth. Have you ever witnessed to a lost person and tried to give them just the simple gospel that a child can understand. And because they can't logically figure it out or work it out, some of the best minds in the world trip over the gospel and the simplicity of the gospel because they cannot compute it. The first thing we do when making the decision is turn to ourselves and our own understanding. We establish ourselves, our intellect, and our understanding as the final authority. And I know, sitting in church on a Sunday night, none of us would raise our hand and say, my understanding is the final authority, unless you are a woman. No, I'm just kidding. Unless you're a wife. No, I'm just kidding. No. We know better. We know that this is the final authority. We are Bible-believing, independent Baptist, King James. We got all the headings. And we know mentally that this is the final authority. We know that. So we're not going to say verbally with our mouth out loud for somebody to hear, my opinion and my feelings and my understanding is the final authority. It'll never come out of our lips. But oh, it comes out of our lives. We do what we want to do. If you don't take nothing home tonight, take that you are exactly who you want to be. People say, I'm so tired of being this way. And the reality is we have convinced ourselves and leaned to our own understanding and convinced ourselves that this is just how it has to be. And this is just my lot in life. All that is contrary to the Word of God. The reality for me tonight and the reality for you tonight is you are exactly who you want to be. Because if you didn't want to be who you are, you would change being who you are. Right. So I'm tired of being poor. You ain't tired enough. Or you would work. I'm tired of being dirty. Not tired enough. Or you'd clean. I'm tired of my filthy habits. I keep falling back into them. Not tired enough. They wouldn't be habits if that was the case. A habit is just something you habitually do. And if you hate it and you despise it bad enough, you won't do it no more. And I won't do it no more. And the reality, whether it's me as the preacher and in my person, or whether it's you on the pew, what you do is what you want to do. And what I do is what I want to do. And what we do defines who we are. Yeah. And the only way to change who we are is to change the desires about who we want to be scripturally and change our understanding about how to become that. And that's through God's understanding and not our own. Amen. Amen. I know this is not shouting preaching. And this is simple. But it's so simple, we stumble over it. It's critical. And I'm going to get to this in a minute, but it's critical. How often, you say, if I had a dime for every time somebody said this to me, I would have plenty. I just want to know more of that Bible. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because you have just as much of it as any other person, and it sits there. The reality is we want God to just drop it on our head and by osmosis it just sink in. Yeah, you don't get a crisp, clean cut yard by wanting it to be that way. Somebody's got to go cut it. The leaves don't get blew into a pile and burned or raked off. Listen, being a Christian is work. Being a better Christian is more work. Amen. Amen. I thought this a long time, and it's terrible thinking, and it's my own mentality, and it was my own messed up understanding that one day I will just develop into being the Christian I always wanted to be. And you know what the truth is? Until I start changing who I am and changing how I think about who I am and how powerless and how weak my flesh is, and that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, I'm going to keep being who I am until Jesus comes or takes me home, and so will you. The only way to change who you are, the only way for me to change who I am, is to change what we put in to believing and understanding. Because the more we understand, the more we know, the better we become. Amen. We've got to exchange our instinctive thinking to God's thinking. Though it's never right and God has never been wrong, talking about our own thinking, our own understanding, we know it's wrong. In comparison to God, God's always right. Who would stand up and defy that? God is always right. God's never one time been wrong. Never. Therefore, what He says is the best path. Living a clean life, I mean, it's borne out in science, it's borne out in history. God's way is the best way. If you want to live a productive life, if you want to live a long, healthy life, live by the precepts of the Word of God. Understand what God says and how God says to live. And it's a fact. God is always right. And therefore, in contrast to that, we are always wrong until we believe and understand the way that He expects and wants us to. We accept or reject truth after we have weighed it out with our own understanding. Have you ever heard a message or heard part of a message, or a preacher deal with something that gets personal into your life? And I've even heard people say this, and you probably have. Oh, he's meddling now. Could it be that the preacher ain't meddling? Could it be that the Holy Ghost is meddling in your life and saying, I'm putting my finger on this, and I am meddling, and I am touching, and I am agitating because this needs to change. And what do? We start thinking, well, if that had to change, I would have to back up and I would have to do this different, and it would affect my life in these ways. I just don't think that's right. I've been this way for this long. God's been okay with it. That's right. Hey, listen. Whatever. How long has it been since we had a service where somebody come to the altar and said, the Lord's dealt with this in my life and I'm giving this up? That used to happen a lot. It's hard to get people to an altar anymore, much less to come and give something away or give something up and say, God, I was wrong and you're right. My thinking. Hey, listen, I've heard preachers and Christians say this. I believe the same thing I believe for the last 40 years. Well, poor, pitiful you. If you ain't learned nothing in 40 years. I will stand up this evening and say publicly, I don't believe everything I believed 40 years ago. I don't believe everything I believed 20 years ago. Thank the Lord, I don't believe everything I did a year ago. I've learned better. The Lord's taught me. My understanding has been coerced and has been changed to be more and think more and have the mind of Christ rather than my old perverted thinking. Amen, that's right. That's how you grow. That's how you grow. Though it's never right and God's never been wrong, we lean on ourselves rather than on Him. It doesn't matter how wrong it is, it always gets us. Just a simple illustration that everybody knows. Eve knew what God said. Did she not? She heard it. It's recorded in Scripture. Then she heard what the serpent said. Then she leaned on her own understanding to decipher between the two. God had clearly spoken. Then the devil clearly spoke. And she took a mixture of what they both said and operated out of that. and look at the mess. Look, honestly, I'm dealing with their understanding tonight. Look at the historical mess by one woman trying to take what God clearly said, take what the devil said, and put it into an equation to decide what she needed to do. If God's clearly said something, there's never a time to give the devil time to even mention or speak on the subject. God's already spoke. I've heard people say, well, and this is becoming sadly, this is becoming more and more prevalent in the church. There ain't nothing wrong with a social drink. There's churches, and I say that hesitantly, but that are recruiting people and advertising how they have social drinking parties. Well, my goodness, just put that ad out at the beer joint and you're going to get a crowd. If the church is just like the world, what's the point in having a church? If the church dresses like the world and talks like the world and acts like the world and thinks like the world, then there's no point in having a church. No, the reality is, if God's ever said something was wrong, it's still wrong. God said it was wrong for a man to lay with another man. And whether there's a church member and a family member of a church member, one of your loved ones or one of mine that's involved in that, it's a perversion, it's wicked, it's abomination, and it's still wrong. No matter what the government says. I spoke this morning briefly on abortion and how Roe v. Wade was overturned, and praise the Lord for that. And that battle was won, but there's still battles to be fought on that front. It don't matter what the government said. It matters what God said. And if that's, we will gladly stand up and loudly proclaim, amen, preacher, that abortion's wicked. And we'll do that because we ain't planning on having one. That's easy to amen. And we'll even say, amen, preacher, preach on that gay and lesbian and that abomination. Preach on that. Well, that's easy too if you ain't living in it. But let your daughter come home. Or your son come home. I'm just saying, listen, that used to be foreign. It ain't foreign no more. Right here in our community, right here in our church, I'm saying, I guarantee you have children who have friends that are struggling with that very issue right now. And hey, young people, please hear me. It don't matter what your teacher says. It don't matter what anybody in school, anybody in the public domain, anybody from Hollywood, anybody in government. It don't matter what men say. It matters what God has clearly said. And you are, if you was born a girl, you're still a girl. And you'll always be a girl. Don't go letting the devil pollute and corrupt your mind. Don't let your understanding be marred and messed up by the devil. He's trying to destroy you. Amen. But and we can clearly see, especially those of us who are old, we can clearly see that distinct line and, oh, that's wrong. Amen? That's wrong. It's wrong to kill a baby. I mean, how much sense do you have to have? It's wrong. It's wicked to shed innocent blood. It's wrong, right? It's also wrong to do everything else God said is wrong. But when we let it slither into our life, we instinctively condone it and try to understand it and try to dumb it down and make it all right. And just because we like it, and just because it's touched our lives or just because it's crept into our lives still don't make it right. It don't matter what you think. It don't matter what I think. It matters what God said. And what God said should determine what we believe and how we understand and operate. Amen. Amen. Well, Eve heard it and noticed the process. Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She saw it. It was pleasant to the eye. That thing that she looked at became a lust. It turned into a desire. And it does matter what we look at. Let that be a message in itself. It matters. He said, "Oh, it's harmless. It's harmless. It matters what our children look at." Case in point, what I was just dealing with. When I was growing up, when I was coming up, you would hear this phrase. They rarely, but you would hear it. Did you hear? But they come out of the closet. You don't even hear that no more, because they have sent Christians in the closet, and Christians have done it willfully and hushed about it. But they ain't no gay and lesbians in the closet. They are out boastfully, proudly declaring what they are. And I remember being a child not knowing anybody that was caught up in that wickedness. Nobody. Sadly, times have changed, and my children, I guarantee you, know somebody that's caught up in that mess already. What's the difference? What's the difference? We've let them look at things from the time they were born, and that has desensitized them. And what God said is contrary to what the government, what society, and the whole tide of this world is pushing one way, and they see it every day, all day. Not a commercial goes by that they ain't a couple of guys looking like girls. And not, I mean, just look, open your eyes and see what the devil in the world is pushing and promoting. And Eve, had she never looked, she'd have never lusted. God had done said, don't you touch that. And if God said don't touch it, why look? No man ever got in the bed with no woman that didn't first look. No man ever become a drunk without first looking. Saying, "Man, that looks fun. My life's boring, and theirs is, they partying. And man, that bottle, it's glimmering and glowing, and that warm, fuzzy feeling." And that look turns into a lust, and it becomes a hook in the jaw that the devil will snare you and snag you. And you may have it for a while, but I promise you, it'll have you. Before it's over, it'll have you. And that's why God said, "Don't look. Don't look. Don't look." And when we put sin on the counter, it don't matter if it's us. I remember hearing preachers preach about the billboard signs and how women need to cover their bodies. When's the last time you heard that? You know why? Because it's just become normal. Everybody dresses that way. I didn't come out to preach on dress code, and ain't going to. I'm simply saying our understanding is being perverted. And we are crazy if we don't think what we sit in front of our children day in and day out don't affect their understanding. The reason Eve went against God was because she looked and tried to figure out a way to make it okay. God had said it was not. The deception was multi-layered. Not only did her understanding tell her that it was good for food, but that it would make her wise. So her understanding led her to believe there would be both instant gratification as well as a long-term benefit to become wise. And guess what? She was wrong on both accounts. No instant gratification. Sin never tastes as good as it looks. Hey, listen, the long run always works out to your detriment and to mine. God's always right. We're always wrong when we go against Him and His thinking. And we know that, but we got to understand that. It's one thing to know something, it's another to understand it. And it's yet even deeper to put it and use wisdom. Knowledge is one thing. Wisdom is putting it in shoe leather and making it happen, living it. Our default response to instruction from God is to judge it through our limited understanding. In most cases, our understanding is a composite of these hurtful experiences. Our knowledge is the result of being burned or hurt or mistreated. The list goes on. And that develops our understanding. Do you know a woman that has been married to an abusive husband, or a drunkard as a husband, or and she's been hurt over and over and over again? That don't just wipe off. That gets deeply embedded, and it absolutely affects her understanding. She tries to comprehend, how can I fix it? How can I make it? And I'm telling you, we develop our own understanding by experiences in our life where we've been hurt. Also, by harmful exposure, the wrong people with the wrong agendas have influenced us. Things that hurt us help form our understanding, but also people that we are around affect our understanding. People you listen to, music you listen to. You say, oh, I just like it. Well, of course you do. A drunk likes liquor. A drug addict likes dope. An adulterer likes an illicit relationship. There is no such thing as godly rock and roll. Or Christian rap. There ain't no godly devil. There ain't no spiritual devil. And people affect us and try to change our understanding. It's okay. This is okay. That's okay. And listen to long enough. Point in case, look at the story was different. Eve looked, and she was a person. There wasn't but two of them on planet Earth. But that one person affected her husband, and she talked sweet and said, oh, but it'll be so good, and it'll make us so wise. And she affected him, and she influenced his understanding. Now, ladies, don't get mad at me. That's just the Bible. That's what happened. Y'all are the cause of all humanity's problems. No, God held Adam in account for that, because Adam knew better. And he openly, she was deceived, but he disobeyed. Halfway explanations help determine our understanding. We've only heard it explained by someone as ignorant on the subject as we are. Brother Jackie, have you ever pastored anybody who was taught all their life something that ain't biblical? Somebody that don't know better than nobody else has took their own understanding and taught it for years. And things I believe from the time I was born all the way up, only to find out it ain't in the Bible. I'm against everything in the Bible that God's against, but I ain't adding nothing to it. There's enough that I don't have to go adding to it. It's important that we know that. So then, haughty exemptions. Well, that's true, but that don't apply to me. Well, the unbiblical thinking that is instilled in us, the unreliable tendency that is instinctive to us, and finally the unreserved trust that is instructed for us. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And when we lean on our understanding, we do several things. We overvalue our own intellect. We think we are a lot smarter than we are. I'm guilty. Not only do we overvalue our own intellect, but we undervalue God's intellect. I know that's a different way of saying the same thing I've said all night, but how under heaven do we undervalue the God of heaven and His intellect? You are a fool, and I'm a fool to undervalue the vast knowledge of God, the omniscience of God. We allow what we think to outweigh what God knows. Let that statement sink in. We allow what we think to outweigh what God knows. That affects our understanding. How crazy is that? I feel like I'm teaching kindergarten this morning, because this is very elementary. This is very primary. It's like, this is red. This is yellow. This is one. But I ain't seen a person here tonight that ain't struggling with their own understanding, beginning with the one preaching. These verses remind us of just how trustworthy God is. Listen, Isaiah 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Psalm 113, verse 4, "The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is likened to the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth?" When we choose to lean upon our own understanding, we are essentially convinced. And this is the whole message. When we choose to lean on our own understanding, we have convinced ourselves that we know more than God. That's what it boils down to. We know it. God's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's wise. Our ways are not His ways. We'll quote those verses, but not live by them. And my challenge to myself, and God's challenge to me, and God's challenge through me to you tonight, is to back up and say, I got a lot up here, but way less down here. And I need to take what I know and allow it to become what I understand. To agree with God that He's right no matter what. And if I'm in contradiction to Him, I'm wrong no matter what. Amen. And that applies, the good thing about that is that applies from the start to the finish. If you ever wonder, oh my goodness, her. Y'all pray for me. I live with four of them. Five, four. How many? One, two, three, four. Yeah. A bunch of long hairs in my house. Now, it's like a tick. You ever get a tick on you and then you start feeling them everywhere? You hear about somebody having lice and you start picking. I get a hair on me. They everywhere. It's simply, listen, the great part about what I'm dealing with tonight, from salvation, from who you are, from who you were born as, agree with God. Yes, Lord, I am who you say I am. I am what you say I am. I'm a sinner. And I ain't just a sinner, but I also agree with you. I'm a sinner who cannot fix it in and of myself. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I agree with you that your Son is the Savior, the one and the only Savior. I believe and I agree He died on the cross for my sin. And that's salvation. That's how. And if we can believe God for our eternal soul, where we will spend forever. We believe in a hell. We believe in a heaven. We believe God's right about that. We understand that. That's why we're here. And if we can understand and have faith in Him that He's right about that, we can have faith to trust Him in our everyday life that He's right. He's right. God help us to conform to His understanding. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord. Help me. Forgive me, Lord, for my own terrible, terrible understanding. God, for my own instinctive thinking. God, for sliding back and falling back, Lord, and trying to figure out and work it out. God, oh God, forgive us, Lord. Help us, God, to return. Have a revival, Lord, of believing You and taking You at Your word. Allowing Your word, God, to dictate our lives, God, and what we believe and who we are. God, from the most simple things to the most complex, Lord, help us. Oh, God, if there's one lost tonight, I pray in Jesus' name You'd take this simple, simple truth, Lord, that they would not lean to their own understanding, but, God, that they would acknowledge You, Lord, and You'd direct their paths, God. Lord, if You're directing them, they'll come to Christ, Lord, and be saved. Lord, for every family, God, start in mind, Lord. God, forgive me from where I failed. Forgive our family, God, for where we failed. And help us, Lord, to quickly return, Lord, trusting You, believing You, God. Do that for every family. Change our thinking. Change our understanding. May we, God, understand what we know and know what we understand. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need the altars, they're open. I'll give you a moment.